Dixon in the old bayou. Find your favorite fishing pole. Find out where's the next honey hole. Only on the Top Rod Fishing Show.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Kane Radio's Fishing and Hunting Show. I'm Tony Landry, along with Ricky Watkins, and welcome to Kane Radio, FM 107.5 and AM 1240, Fishing and Hunting Show. And as always, the purpose of this show is to keep our listeners updated with the fishing and the hunting in the area, along with Louisiana and stories around the USA and the world. And you know, Rick, these are the fine people, the reason we're here.
You're right, Tony. Good morning to everyone. Thanks to Alamo Hydraulics, Watkins Floor Covering, Doyle's Heating and Cooling, Coca-Cola, Sure Tire Apartments, and the Quarter Tavern.
And if you'd like to give us a call, the number's 367-1240. You can also listen to us online, that's right, at www.kane1240.com, anywhere in the world. And you can now listen to Kane on the FM band at 107.5. And if you have Alexa, just say, Alexa, play Kane 1240. You may also listen to Kane on any accessible internet device. We're live here at the studios at 107 West Main Street here in downtown New Iberia, right next to Victor's Cafeteria, which is open. And, Rick, what's shaking in the freshwater and the saltwater?
Tony, I hadn't really heard too much starting off out about saltwater, but freshwater has been coming around. I took a little trip yesterday afternoon to the pond, and I think the next moon phase, the Sockeye, I noticed I had my polarized glasses on, about 10 foot of water. They're starting to bunch up. I seen about 50 or 60 of them. And they're probably getting ready to spawn. Like I said, it was in about 10 foot of water. So probably once this cool spell, it won't last much longer. And the fish should start spawning.
Well, you know, Rick, the water over in Butte La Rose,
yeah,
the water is still rising, and it's up to 15, looking like it's going up to 16, close to 16 feet.
Yes, sir.
It was just a few weeks ago, it was down at 7, yep. 7, 6, 8
You're right.
foot.
Yeah, and I was catching fish, like you said, less than a month ago, you know, but when it jetted up, it went from like 8 or 9, like you said, to 13, and now it looks like it's going to go to almost 16, well, over 16 feet. Yeah, you're right.
You know, that's just, I can't fathom that. And, of course, we haven't seen the beginnings of the winter snow melt.
No, not yet.
To my recollection. I mean, and they had a big winter storm up in the Midwest.
Yeah.
In the Missouri River, all up in there,
right.
Kansas City, on out to Colorado. And that all drains through the Mississippi.
Yeah. And, Tony, I hadn't checked the Cairo lately, but that's usually they're diverting some water down through the Mississippi and into the Atchafalaya. So either the Cairo has got to be rising, or you know, they're diverting a big bunch of water, like you said, from up north, you know.
Yeah, it's just it's unusual that you see something like that, and it's anyway, but it does make for good fishing in the in the basin that we've had for quite some time now.
That's right. Now the lake, Tony, they've been catching a few sockeye. I got a couple reports from a couple buddies of mine. They're fishing them 2 to 4 foot deep, so that tells me they're fixing to move up. And usually when they start biting, and they'll get right against the edge of the bank, so to speak. Like I said, this little cool snap might have knocked them back a little bit, but like I said, in the pond, they're in about 10 foot of water. They'll find that thermocline, you know, and then once it starts back warming up, then they'll move on up on the beds and do their thing.
Well, one thing I've noticed, too, the trees in my yard are starting to bud.
Oh, yeah.
So whether it be walnut trees, elm trees, cypress trees, you know, you're going to see especially the cypress trees out in the basin and all and along with the lakes.
Yeah.
You're going to see some of those caterpillars start falling in the water.
Yeah.
You're going to see those fish moving up.
That's right. That's
looking for feed.
You're looking for your brim to start biting. It won't be long. And, like you said, the willow trees are on our pond and starting to bud and turn green. So that's a good sign that spring's not far away.
Boy, you're right about that, too. Yep. So we'll see how that holds up. And like you said, it's just going to be a little quick cold snap. And I wouldn't say cold. I'd say it's just going to be
a little
normal. Yeah, that's right. It's the last time.
That's it. Everybody be saying, man, I
wish
it was cool.
The dog days of summer are right around the corner.
Yeah, you're right, bro.
Anyway, Rick, I bet it today. What you got today, my man?
That's a creature bait, Tony, put out by Zoom. And you can see it's got a little green and purple in it. I've been catching on that, and I've been dipping the tail, putting a 2 or 3-aught owner on there with about a 3/16 or maybe a little lighter, a quarter ounce, and or eighth of an ounce rather, not a quarter. And been catching them probably, I don't know, 12 to 15 feet of water, Tony, and still, you know, just been doing good with that bait. It's a creature bait put out by Zoom. And you get a pack of 10, probably, they went up a little bit, probably around $4.89, tax in, something like that. But like I said, it's, you know, I rig it Texas style with a 2 or 3 odd owner and a 1/8 weight. And it's been a good bait for me this spring. I've been catching a lot of nice fish on it.
But you've been doing a lot of pond fishing the last week or two, haven't you?
Yeah, well, with the wind, and yesterday evening, Tony, it was windy. You can see my face is kind of wind-burned, even with glasses on. It's but that wind has been blowing. But, you know, when the wind blows like that, I just try to, you know, just go with the flow and just fish it slow, you know, because if you try to fight the wind, and the wind will kill you, you know.
Oh, you're right about
that. I'm not saying kill you, but you know what I'm saying. Fishing
wise, it's harder.
Yeah, it is. It's a lot harder fishing. And my little buddy was with me yesterday. I let him run a trolling motor. He said, man, that thing was throwing him all over, you know. I said, hey, you see, it's not easy fishing and running a trolling motor, you know.
Yeah, that it is. And, you know, people don't realize, especially with the wind, you know, and the wind's moving you.
Yeah.
And you got a nice spot.
That's right.
And you're catching some fish, and the wind's going to push
That's
you.
It. We would catch 2 or 3 tonne, and then we'd get out that zone. So, I would back us up. And, you know, sometimes I make the front of the boat, the back, you know, backing it up, make it front. And sometimes I'll spin around and I'll fish, you know, fish the front. But that way I give my boy a shot, you know, and he catches some fish. He's a good little fisherman, too.
So that bait of the day, Rick, mostly you can use just about anywhere.
This is a good bait, Tony. I wouldn't say for stain water because it is on the lighter side, and it's a greenish color. You know, you'd want to go a little darker if you're fishing stain, not to say muddy water, but stain water now. And your clear water deals, like right here, you know, in our pond, I mean, it's crystal clear. Yesterday I had no problem seeing down 10, 12 feet. I mean, the pond was like gin. I mean, the water's like looking through that glass right there.
Well, you mentioned that you could see the sockeye 10 feet
down. I could see them. Yeah, they were bunching up. I seen about 40 or 50 of them. I might go thin them out this afternoon, you know, thin the herd down. Oh, yeah. And they were some nice ones, too. And but anyway, getting back to the color, Tony, the lighter the water, the clearer the water, the lighter the color bait that you want to go with. But for some reason, I always, you know, been saying, like, your greens and your chartreuses and that color rim, chart on the color chart, bass are partial to green. I don't know why, but they love anything green, you know. And your, like I said, in your chartreuses or your greens, and there's another color that escapes me, June bug. Dang it, I couldn't think of it. But June bug is a real good color in our pond. You know, I've been catching on flukes and on this bait right here.
Well, you know, I can see you're partial to green, you know, and throwing. But when you think about it, caterpillars, grasshoppers, those type of insects and all, they're, you know, you can see that's the ones that are going to fall off the limbs into the water that the bass are going to, I guess, jump for or catch. When the trees, as I said, starting to bud and all.
Yeah.
That's taking place now. It won't be long before the trees are full. And we got another hour of daylight, you know, in the evening.
Yeah,
so
be cutting grass over 5 or 6 days, you know.
Boy, you're right about that.
And the heat starts kicking in. You're right. But anyway.
It's right around the corner,
that's
Rick.
Right.
It
yes,
really
sir.
Is.
Oh,
so
yeah.
We'll see how all that's going to play out now.
That's
I just never heard of anything. You know, I was really curious about with the bass, it looks like they're fully recovered from the chill, you know, the freeze we've had. And I haven't heard of any large kills or anything of that nature. So there were a lot of concerns about that, too, in February, about a month ago.
Yes, sir.
You know, and but everything looks like it's smoothed over. They had a big tournament, too, last weekend, the Anglers Against Autism. And they usually have it in late February for the Louisiana Bass National qualifier. Also took place, and we're ready to head out. It was over at Dwarons, over in Stevensville. Have you ever fished up in that area too, Rick?
Yeah, it's
up
in, beautiful.
You know, that area, Pierre Park, up in that area too?
Yeah, you have the, Lake Verrette on the off side of the levee. On the other side, it's just a basin. It's beautiful down there also, Tony. It's a big area. It really is.
And, you know, people don't realize Iberia Parish has like a panhandle that divides the lower St. Martin and upper St. Martin Parish.
Right.
And that panhandle skirts out.
It runs,
That's right. They're out there near Bayou Pigeon. People don't realize that.
You
know, that area is a good fishing area.
Bayou Soil and all of those areas.
In the Verrette Basin and
that's
all.
Right. Yeah.
Excellent fishing out there. Yeah. Anyway, the Anglers Against Autism, they took they had a 3-pound average, 5-pound limit in the top 15, and they usually pay out nice prizes and everything. And the word this year was that the northern part of the Cheflais, as we mentioned, is holding a lot of water.
Yeah.
So Grand River, Patch Bay, those areas, Bay Natchez in the Verrette Basin and in the Bayou Pigeon area. But the water wasn't that high, so it's kind of surprising. And the Mississippi River is at 30 feet at Baton Rouge. But yet the Cheflais is at 3.5 feet, which is sufficient. That's strange.
Yeah.
You know, you just don't see that in this right. time. So you wonder, like you said, maybe they're pushing some water that we're not aware of. And
I tell you what, Tony, we went to Baton Rouge last week, and that Mississippi has a current in it, partner.
Oh, yeah.
You could see those, I guess that's those ship buoys they tie up to. I mean, those babies were laying down, and that current was coming around there, you know. So that's a big body of water.
And, you know, it's just the bass action also is picked up, I'm hearing, on False River, too. I don't know many people that might journey up there. That's, you know, it's an hour and 20-minute ride, basically, a 30-minute ride, hour and 30 minutes to head up there. And I know a few people that have camps up there. And,
it's a beautiful river, Tony. It really is.
Oh, yeah. And it's an old part of the old Mississippi River, you know, when the river changed. Course, I don't know how many thousands of years ago,
and they blocked it off,
but that it did. So anyway, the Louisiana Bass Nation had a tournament last week, and also top 15 boat, they had boater and co-angler. And for people who wonder what a co-angler is, it's somebody that rides in the boat with you, and you're basically fishing your boat, and you have a co-angler, and he's fishing separately to win prizes and all.
That's right.
And in the category for a boater, Garrett Strickland of Ascensionary Anglers at almost 30 pounds. Tim Kamush, same group, Ascension Anglers, had 29.41. And Big Bass was 6 pounds.
Nice fish.
You're right. The second place was Caleb Prestonbach out of St. Mary Bass Masters. He finished with a 5.19 bass. So the co-anglers, Travis Bodan of Westside Bass Masters, had 17 pounds. Along with Big Bass was Travis. He had 5.34 pounds. So that's a pretty good sized fish, too, Rick.
Good fish, you're right.
You pulled in a nice one the other day.
Yeah, that's a nice fish.
You were showing me 11 pounder?
Yeah, 11 and a half.
Threw it back, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah,
huh?
11 and a half, that's right.
That's a big baby, man.
Yeah,
and,
it is. Yeah,
with
she was
the
full of eggs, too, Tony.
Was she?
Yeah.
Wow. Anyway, it's just something to behold. This is going to catch you, Rick, before we take our first break in a few minutes.
All right.
The district biologists are planning to release a half a million Florida bass in the Lake Force Point.
I read that in a paper.
I got this article out of there. Yeah. And Lake Force Point's bass production is sure to grow with that. So bass are doing their spring thing at this time, you know, with spawning. And the lake's uncharacteristically low, they say. I've been out there. I know you have.
It's a little on the low side.
Yeah, for the second week in March. Yeah. So what's the degree of the water level impacts the spawn, favorable, unfavorable? You know, it remains to be seen. But however, the baby bass are born into the wild. Their numbers should be bolstered next month by that addition.
Yeah.
Half a million Florida bass fry.
Tony, that's a good thing, but the mortality rate, you know, I wish the fish could be a little bigger. And I know it's expensive to raise fish because I've done it myself, you know, putting them in the pond and everything. And, you know, a bunch of them will survive, but, you know, we'll lose a bunch of them. But, I mean, it's going to definitely help the lake.
Yeah,
it'll help the lake big time.
Yeah, I'm seeing something about that, too, where the Florida bass fry are tiny compared to the Florida bass fingerlings, is what you're speaking of. And the Texas study showed that a seven-day-old bass fry at 7.27 millimeters long, or about a quarter of an inch long.
Yes.
And from 2000 to 2014, the wildlife fisheries personnel stocked 1.2 million Florida bass fingerlings, usually about 2 inches long. And Fry and Lake Dotrieve and Force Point reported a few years ago, department oversaw the release of 80,000 Florida bass fingerlings in the spring of 2014.
Yep.
The freeze slowed the process, but it's believed to be a very possible would be available in April. So we're going to see. They got some stats on this, and I'm trying to read through the article that they released, you know, what the percentage here of bass. It says Lake Dotrieve, Force Point chances to receive more Florida bass fingerlings for the first time in 7 years. That's the half million they're talking about. After electrofishing samples of 79 bass across the lake in October of 18 were sent to LSU for genetic analysis to determine the presence, if any, of the Florida bass, the results released in late January of 19 showed 81% were native bass, 18% were F1, a cross between the native bass and the Floridas, and the 1% pure Florida bass. So anytime those test results proved the Florida bass gene was catching on in the lake system and warranted more Florida bass stocking. So, yes, that's why they're doing it, you know.
Yes,
and Lake Force Point hasn't stocked with the Florida bass fingerling since 14. However, the staff released a 1.8 million Florida bass fry in the lake in mid-April of 19. So those surviving could be 12 to 14 inches long in April, and 7% of the high-end of the state biologist predicted a mortality rate. There you go. Of those 1.8 million Florida fried bass survived, they were released nearly 2 years ago, 126,000, you know, should be in the lake for the system. So how's my math? Let's see.
Help.
So it's about not quite 5%. So a little over 5%, I should say.
Yes,
so
you
put in 100, you're going to get five of them. They're going to survive.
Yep.
So that's pretty that's strong enough because when you figure all the birds that they're going to pick on them and the snakes and the gators, the little baby gators all the other animals that are going to pick on those small and the other bass and other fish.
Oh, yeah, they're territorial, Tony, predators also. And but it'll definitely help the lake system, Tony.
Well, I just, Rick, I know there's been efforts to restock the lake, after Hurricane Andrew back in 92, man, there's so many dead fish.
Yeah.
You could walk on the water,
that's
it seemed
right.
like.
It was bad, Tony.
You know, and the fishing didn't recover. It took a few years.
Yeah, we threw a lot of tournaments and bought a lot of fish, but it's finally come back around. Thank goodness.
Yeah, well, 500,000 Florida bass fry in Force Point, so that's a start. And it's gonna, what's the old adage? It takes a bass to grow about an inch a year, something of that nature.
Oh, yeah. They grow pretty quick.
So hopefully, in a few years, if the birds and the predators don't eat up all
especially your Florida, I'm telling you, they'll grow about a pound a year. Some of them will grow more than that. Your pure strength.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Not an inch, but a pound a year.
That's how I knew what you meant,
So it's one of those things. So we'll see how that's all going to take place. But that's
that's
all good news, Rick, for the area fishermen.
Yeah.
And
that's right.
Boy, it's just so important to get involved in that.
That's
so
right.
And enjoy the fishing. And like we talked about earlier last year, that the fishing licenses have basically doubled. And I know Coach on his show, Bayou Sports, are talking about even the golf play has really increased, too.
Yeah.
With the COVID, so if one good thing's come out of it, people are getting
outside
and enjoy the weather and all.
That's right.
So,
yes, sir.
And the fishing around here is wonderful. Anyway, we're going to go ahead and take our first break this morning to listen to Kane Radio's Fishing and Hunting Show. We'll be back with more right after this.
We have a new player on the field, and he's ready for kickoff with a delicious ice-cold Coca-Cola and the kick. Ice giving him a little trouble as a few cubes shake loose. He's probably going to pour it here, and he does. The glass is full. Can he go all the way? He did it! Oh, wow! And just listen to that fizz! That might have been the most refreshing thing that I've ever seen. Whew. Coca-Cola. Taste the feeling.
Don't you love living in New Iberia? Elmer and Liz Watkins do. They own Watkins Floor Covering and have been doing business in the Queen City for nearly half a century. If you're in the business for new floors, visit the Watkins, and they will certainly give you the red carpet service treatment. Whether carpet or hard flooring, Shaw Floors is one of their best sellers. Watkins Floor Covering, located at 1319 East Main Street, and I can guarantee when you go visit with Elmer and Liz, they'll be listening to KAME Radio blaring in their store. That's Watkins Floor Covering, right here in New Iberia.
A new Carrier heating and air conditioning system from Dawes Heating and Cooling can save you money every month. Thanks to the newest line of Carrier energy-efficient technology products, you can lower your utility bill. Don't forget to ask about the cool cash savings through your local Carrier dealer. Turn to the Carrier experts at Dawes Heating and Cooling. Call Dan, you're my AC man, today at 337-367-2511. That's 337-367-2511, license number 6286.
Locally owned and operated, Alamo Hydraulics serves the oil business on the national scene. Specializing in welding, grinding, and hard chrome plating, Alamo also does fabrication work on cylinders, valves, pumps, and motors of all brands. Located at 2712 West Admiral Doyle Drive, you can call Chris Williamson at 303-3799. That's Alamo Hydraulics, a proud sponsor of the KAME Fishing and Hunting Show.
The hits of the 60s, 70s, and 80s on KAME 107.5.
Welcome back to KAME's Radio's Fishing and Hunting Show. I'm Tony Landry along with Ricky Watkins. And, Rick, next week, I keep thinking it was Wednesday.
Yeah.
I meant to get you off there before the show. And Wednesday night hog fights and the Bass Tournament Series officials released their 12th tournament schedule and the rules for they planned in 21. The first Wednesday night, the hog fight is set to start at 5:30 March 24th out of Marshfield Landing at Lake Force Point. So right off the Teche Lake Canal. So, into Lake Dotrieve and all. But, Rick, I know you've participated in these over the years. It's a lot of fun. A lot of competition, too, if you know what I mean.
Yeah,
we were talking about.
You got some good fishermen in this area, Tony. And It's a good little miniseries. They start it off at 5:30. Usually we'll blast off between 5:30, no later than a quarter to 6, and we fish, you know, to safe daylight is still going. Usually around 8 with the first one, and then as the summer progresses, we'll, you know, 8:30, quarter to 9, you know, because the days are a little longer and we have more light. But it's a good little miniseries. We have between 20 to 30 boats that fish it, and it's a lot of fun, you know.
And it's not just Marshfield Landing. Do y'all go into Bayou Benoit and other places where you might fish? And
usually Miette Point, Tony. It's, you know, to me it's a little far to go down there because when you get home, you know, that night it's late time. You put your boat up and everything. But it's every 2 weeks, every other Wednesday we fish. And we go to, like I said, down Fairfax underneath. They'll fish there. And then we'll go down towards Bayou Benoit, and a lot in the lake because the lake's so close, I guess. But like I said, it's a good little mini series, and I think they'll have 12 tournaments this year, and you got to fish 6 to go to fish the Classic.
Yeah,
I think it's $60 a boat this year.
That's correct. And,
that's correct. But it's a good little deal.
And you know, last year they had they're basically looking at some of the stats. They had a little over 100 bass anglers fished at least one Wednesday. You know, and on the average, 20 boats finished each tournament in a year. That's, you know, it's been a crazy year with the virus and also and the restrictions. But as I mentioned, there a lot more people are fishing right now. The fishing licenses, they used to sell 15, 18,000 a month. They were doing 35 and 38,000 a month in sales. So one thing that's going on, people in the fishing industry had to be pleased. So, and you know as well as I do, we're talking about billions of dollars in the fishing industry.
It rolls over a lot, Tony, from, you know, your stations and your baits and the tires. I mean, the vehicles, the boats, you got to have fuel and everything for that, you know. So it's a dollar rolls over a lot, you know, in the community when you have a lot. You know, fishing is a good thing.
Yeah, some of the dates we have besides the Wednesday opener next week, the 24th, we got April 7th, April 21st, May 5th, May 19th, the 2nd of June, the 16th of June, the 30th of June, July 14th, Bastille Day, July 28th, August 11th, and August 25th, and it all wraps up with the September 12th Sunday. Anglers fish or pay an entry fee for the 6 of the 12 tournaments to be eligible for the championship, the Wednesday Night Hogfight Classics, and you know, and from one thing I read in the article, too, that the race for Angler of the Year should be tighter because the point values per place have changed.
Okay.
And are you familiar with what's changed about it, Rick?
No, I didn't, you know, I haven't been to the meeting yet, but I'll find out. So apparently they're going to do something we never did before, Tony, was give points. It's usually first, second, and third, 190 and 80, so to speak. And then after that, it's one-point increments. You know, after you come out fifth, sixth, seventh, it drops down from, you know, 80, 79, 78. But anyway, apparently what they're going to do is either do something with the total pound system or they're going to give some points extra, which I always thought would have been good for big bass, you know. How much points, I don't know, but I'm just guessing. But I'm pretty sure it's going to have something to do with big bass, but I'll find out.
And also, each boat operator receives a chip with the boat's takeoff number, and that chip must be returned to the chip board before weigh-in time, which will be announced before takeoff.
Now, let me tell you what happened last year. I'm not going to name no names, but young man won the tournament.
Okay.
Lost his wallet and his chip, flew out the boat.
Okay.
You don't bring your chip back in, you can't weigh.
Oh, wow.
And he was upset, and I felt bad for him, but, you know, so when I fished those afternoon tournaments, Tony, I got, you know, I'll wear my sweatpants and I got another pair of shorts on underneath so I put my chip inside my second pair of pants, you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Because you don't want to lay that baby and say, oh, I'll get it later, because when you're running 40, 50 miles an hour on the water and then the wind's blowing, you're looking around, well, what happened to my chip? You cannot weigh in. And, hey, that's bad, you know. But it is what it is. You know?
Oh, I know.
It's tough, but
I lost my share of caps in the base.
Oh, yeah.
I can tell you that.
Yeah. Yes,
flying
sir.
Off, you know.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Go back to retrieve them, then they go down,
yeah,
you know.
Sinking down. Yes, sir. You're
I could
right.
probably go. They might still be there, you know, over the years. But you're right about that.
And then, too, Tony, with that chip, you know, when the guy calls a certain time, you chip, it's a board, and it's got like a little nail on it or a little hook. Mm-hmm. Your chip has to be there at a certain time because you know, you can't be late either. So yeah, that's another reason for that chip, you see.
I understand. But it's part of the rules. I mean, you got to stick to the rules and keep everything above board.
So, and it happens. You know, you have motor trouble and things happen. But if you come in late and the official sees that your chip's not on that board, well, you hold your chip till after the tournament and you tell them, look, I was late. I'm sorry. Here's my chip. And you put your chip up, and that's the way it is. And, but if you're late, you cannot weigh in.
And correct me if I'm wrong about all this. Right. Your fish need to be alive, too.
Oh, no, you got to have three alive, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, people don't realize that. It's not not like saltwater fishing. You know, your fish got to be alive.
That's right.
When you turn them in the way. And most of the time, people, I'd say, 95% of the time, they turn them back loose.
Yeah.
Like a few people won't keep them, you know, but most of the time, they turn them back.
We try to turn them all back, you know, alive if we can. Yes, sir.
Anyway, it's going to be a down-to-wire finish. A nice article by Shoop in Iberian. So,
regular good season year.
Final.
Should be.
Especially, restocking the lake and all that over the years. So, we'll see how that's all going to come into play, too.
Right.
So. Anyway.
Yes, sir.
Anyway, also the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries, their website has been improved so drastically over the last year. So I'll tell you, just you can go in there and pull up articles. You can find out about the regulations and rules. You can look on hunting areas and zones. It's multifaceted. You got to navigate through it a little bit, but it's you can renew your license, you can get permits, you can register your boat, you can re-register your boat. So there's a lot going on there. I say head to it, Department of Wildlife and Fisheries, and a lot of information there for you. And if you're a first-time customer to purchase a license, you can create a new customer account. You can also have them email you news briefs and information. So it's a lot going on there, Rick, and with the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries website. So a lot of information you can find on it. I know I go to it a lot to look up things and rules and areas and to report on this show.
Yeah.
So it's important. So in the meantime, also come next month, late this month, certain areas of the state, the turkey hunting starts. And we've talked many times, prior to hunting turkeys, all turkey hunters, regardless of age or license status, must obtain a turkey tag. And they must also have the tags in their possession while hunting turkey. Immediately after harvesting a turkey, the hunter must tag the turkey with the proper carcass tag before moving it from where it was killed. The hunter must record the date and parish of kill on the carcass and tag, and record the death on the kill and the corresponding tag number on the harvest report card portion to the turkey tag license. Yep. Hunter must keep the tag attached to the turkey while keeping the turkey at camp while transporting it as a hunter's home or cold storage facility. Hunters who keep the carcass or meat at camp must also comply with the resident game possession tag regulations, and within 72 hours of harvesting the turkey, the hunter must validate the harvest either by phone or online. So things taking place, and to validate your tag online, harvest information collected through the tag and the validation. It's just something you got to do, and if you want to go turkey hunting, I know a lot of guys do, too.
Oh, yeah.
That's a big game for the area around here. So, and replacing a lost tag for a fee from any licensed vendor. So hunters have to harvest turkey. So here again, you can go to the Wildlife and Fisheries and find out more about this with possession tags and things of that nature. Of course, your name, date, and address, all that license number, meaning your Louisiana Department of Wildlife license number. So those are all important things, too, Rick. And, if you want to hunt today, it's just you got to follow the regulations because all the agents out there.
Yeah, and it's a good thing, Tony. That's how they keep up with these programs and, like you said, filling out your paperwork and everything, turning it in. So it's all a good deal.
Yeah, it's important, too. So just you got to follow the regs and listen. And it's all about safety. And they try to track so they can make informative decisions on what's best for the hunters and, with the number of birds you can kill, et cetera. So,
that's right.
They want everybody to have fun and be safe.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about. You know as well as I do.
That's right.
So in the meantime, our tides for this weekend, today, Friday the 19th, the sun rose at 7:11, and the sunset will be at 7:19. So got a little over 12 hours of daylight today. High and low tide, we can see that low tide was at 1:55 this morning. The high tide will be at 10:49 this morning. Tomorrow, Saturday the 20th, the sun's going to rise approximately the same time, 7:10. Sunset will be at 7:20. High and low tide chart, the low tide will be at 2:46. That's Friday night, Saturday morning, high tide 12:19, that's Saturday afternoon. And the 21st of March, The sun's going to rise at 7:09 and set at 7:21. High and low tide chart. The low tide will be at 3:47 in the morning. High tide will be at 1:42. At the moment, the current water temperature in Southwest Pass, Vermilion Bay, 67 degrees.
Yeah, it's going to be climbing
so,
up.
So moving. It's moving along in that direction,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, the days get longer and it get warmer. Yes,
yeah, sir. It will. And this little cool snap shouldn't last too long. We should have some gorgeous days, hopefully, the next few days. So if you want to get out and go fishing, now would be the time this weekend.
Today and tomorrow and Sunday would be good, Tony.
Yeah, they're talking about.
We got a little rain Tuesday.
Yeah, that's right.
Tuesday and Wednesday.
I took the words out of my mouth.
Yes,
so.
Sir.
Yes. In the meantime, Rick, we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for these fine people.
You're
man.
Right, Tony. Thanks to Alamo Hydraulics, Watkins Floor Covering, Doors Heating and Cooling, Coca-Cola, Sure Tire Apartments, and the Quarter Tower.
And our motto is always,
kids that hunt and fish, don't steal and deal.
Hey, remember, Kane Radio has the Mass live here every Sunday on Kane Radio, FM 107.5 and AM 1240 from 7:30 to the end of the service. And stay tuned to the Bayou Sports with Coach Brent Indes right after Kane Radio's Fishing and Hunting Show. And with that, we're going to say we'll be here next Friday.